Dear wonderful listeners, if you're looking to define your brand's core message but aren't sure where to start, that's where Smart Beauty can help. We're offering a 90-minute deep dive into your brand to give you clear action points on your messaging and strategy to help you grow and scale, so that you can get noticed by customers, retailers, and investors, and start to see sales soar. And the cost of this deep dive is redeemable against any larger project you work with us on, so you get all of that insight and value with minimal risk. We're looking for a few new clients who are ready to see amazing results. Just email hello@smartbeautycreative.com to find out more. Hello and welcome to the Smart Beauty Podcast. I'm your host, Viola Levy, beauty journalist and founder of copy-led branding agency, Smart Beauty Creative. We're here to create your brand voice and craft the story behind it. Today, I'm joined by Kate Kay, the founder of Wildsource, a holistic skincare brand that's redefining our relationship with beauty rituals. From making homemade beauty products from the age of 8 to securing coveted spots on Liberty London's shelves, Kate's entrepreneurial journey embodies passion, perseverance, and a clear vision. What started at her kitchen table has evolved into a brand that weaves wellness, mindfulness, and spiritual practices into everyday skincare. In our conversation, Kate shares the challenges of launching an independent beauty brand in a saturated market, why she believes in the power of slowing down, and how becoming a mother deepened her commitment to creating moments of self-connection through beauty rituals. Whether you're an aspiring entrepreneur, skincare enthusiast, or simply curious about building a purpose-driven business, Kate's insights on staying authentic while scaling a brand are truly invaluable. Hope you enjoy our chat. So Kate, thank you so much for joining me. Lovely to have you on the podcast. So first off, it would be great to hear kind of what was the light bulb moment that spurred you on to start the range? What was the journey like?
Well, firstly, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. I think I always knew I wanted to start a business, and beauty has been my background since I left school. So, I mean, to be super transparent, I started my first beauty brand when I was about 8 years old with my best friend in her kitchen.
Amazing.
And we would make beauty products and sell them. And the brand was called Aries, and we would, you know, make up these concoctions in her kitchen and try and flog them to our mum and dad. And so I love beauty. I've always worked in it or done treatment. And I knew that I wanted to launch a brand. I knew that I wanted a business. You know, I was quite certain of that. I just didn't quite know where it would be or whether I would be, you know, the therapist and launching that kind of business or going into product. And I naively just dived straight in. I didn't know anything about running a business. I had never launched a product to market. I just did it. And I think if I had thought too much about it, or I'd spoken to somebody that had done it all, I might not have done it, because I'd be like, oh no, there's no way I can
do
that.
What you don't know, you don't fear, right?
Exactly. So I just did it. And I'm so grateful that I did that 26-year-old version of me that just said, oh yeah, we're doing it. We're going to launch 5 products and we'll see how it goes. Yeah, it was intense. It was really intense, but it was amazing. And I learned, because I was doing everything on my own, and I didn't have a mentor. I didn't know how to run a business or launch a business or launch a product. I was literally learning on the job, and I'm so grateful for those first few years where I was able to grow into this role for myself and understand the world of business a little bit more. Mm. I thought I knew the industry because I'd worked in beauty, but working on the other side of it is totally different. And launching products is, you know, it's not easy. So I learned a lot, and I'm really grateful for those first few years. I learned so much.
And what were the main challenges? Like, if you could go back and do things differently, what were the, if you could do anything differently?
I mean, there were so many challenges because I'd not done anything before. So everything was a challenge. What I had on my side was the kind of burning passion and desire and knowing of what the brand looked, what I wanted it to look like and feel like and stand for. And I was so clear on the vision from the outset that that's what I had on my side. The rest of it, I had to figure out along the way. I mean, I would do really stupid things like set launch dates for stuff and then put them out to tell everyone that I was doing it on this date, and then try and scramble and do things, get everything in place that I could do it for that date. And obviously I don't do that anymore. Like you work, you get all of the everything ready and you plan everything, and then you decide on the date that you're going to do it. But I was so eager and determined to get things out there. I just was kind of going into it all guns blazing. And I think actually the biggest challenge was understanding the legalities of putting a product on the market. There's so many legal hoops, quite rightly so, that you have to jump through that I had no idea about. So learning all of that was, it took a lot longer. And then I think the visual aspects of it, I was really clear in my head about what I wanted the brand to look like. But then actually relaying that to someone like a graphic designer and trying to get, what's in my head down onto paper and then onto a product wasn't easy. So I think everything took longer than I thought it would, just because I simply didn't know the processes in the beginning.
And I imagine that maybe some suppliers or other people you're working with took advantage of that, particularly as like a young female entrepreneur.
Yeah, I think I struggled initially because I didn't know the cost of things, like you don't know until you know. So I didn't know that every time I changed something on a label, I would be charged for the time that it took to make that amendment. And there were lots of little things in the beginning that that I had to learn. I don't think it was necessarily the fact that I was female. It was more a case of, cool, I've not done this before. I don't know what I'm doing. And some of the mistakes were costly, like misprints on labels and, just like little things where I learned a lot in the
And
beginning.
I'd love to hear more about the story behind Wild Source, because obviously, we hear that sort of same tired old spiel of like, well, I couldn't find anything on the market that blah blah blah. But I'm more interested in kind of, who are you as a brand and what do you stand for, and what was the kind of USP that you envisaged for this brand?
Yeah, so it was always going to be very holistic. And I hate the word natural or like green or clean or any of those. I don't like any of those words,
So
but
vague and just don't
oh, it's just really
really
annoying.
stand.
But it's difficult to find another word. But what I wanted was to be able to weave my lifestyle and what I value in my life through the brand and through the business. And the things that I value are, taking time and being able to kind of ritualize an everyday routine and to really take my time on things and have a holistic approach. And I'm very lucky, I think, because it's my brand, I'm able to weave that lifestyle like through the business. And that was always going to be, one of the main things for us. When we launched, there was no kind of self-care buzzword. There was no, oh, we're just, taking a moment for it wasn't really around, not in the way that it is now. But I knew that I wanted a holistic approach to skincare. I knew that I wanted it to be kind of woven through this more of a feeling and a time for you. And I think I wanted to redefine my customers' relationship with beauty through a more elevated approach and through more holistic rituals. And I think, at this time, this was 2017 when we launched, it was all about, carving out that time and making that beauty ritual more meaningful. Instead of just kind of slapping on a quick oil or cleansing just to get the day off, it was more about, okay, how can we make this more about the customer instead of the product? And how can we elevate that experience and make them feel really good with products that are super efficacious and that kind of really feed and nourish the skin, but also create this reason for them to pause, this kind of sensory experience where they're like, oh, okay, let me just get into this. I'm not doing anything else. This moment is just for me. So, and I think actually with a holistic skincare brand, it's really important to acknowledge that you have to work a little bit harder on that experience. So that was, always a very important point from the get-go.
Because then you've got scent, you've got texture, is that all of these kind of experiential elements that really come into play with that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Are your products aimed at a specific skin type or a certain age group or a specific lifestyle? Like, what is your demographic, would you say?
They're not aimed at a specific skin type. I think if you need to be into oils, I think, because we are predominantly oils based, but it's more about if you are looking for, or if you are interested in the brands that kind of border wellness as well as just beauty. And if you are looking for a brand that is willing to support you on that journey, even if Wild Source is just one stepping stone into a more kind of holistic pathway of life, then I feel like I would have done my job. It is predominantly women. We do have some men actually, but it is predominantly based, it's beauty is very kind of female focused, isn't it? And most of our customers are
Yeah.
women that want to be able to have more time for them. I think, when I launched the brand, I wasn't a mum, and even then I wanted more time for me, and I wanted to kind of give something back to myself. Fast forward to now, having a toddler, that's even more important. I've had to I've really doubled down on my beauty rituals and the daily things that I do just for me even more.
No, that's great. And I think when it comes to your brand story, like bearing like with that in mind, is that something that sort of happened organically, or did you know from the start kind of what you wanted your tone of voice and your brand story to be?
I was super clear from the beginning. I knew it, obviously it's evolved because I've changed, and like I said, I am woven through every area of this business, but it was always holistic, it was always ritualistic, it was always about supporting the customer on a deeper level. And I think that sort of storytelling aspect is how you connect with people, right? So it was always super important. And it has evolved and developed over the years, but I think, yeah, fundamentally the message still stands.
And when it came to being like a brand ambassador, how did you feel about that? Because I feel like a lot of, especially female founders, are also compelled to be like the face of the brand. Did you feel that pressure to kind of also be an influencer as well as running the brand as well?
Yes and no. In the beginning, I really had like quite a barrier up about that, and I didn't want to be. I would always say in the beginning, I didn't launch a brand to be the face of it. I don't, that's not why I'm doing this. I just want to be able to support people on their skin journeys and create amazing products with, formulations that I love. As time has gone on, and I think actually as my confidence has grown as a woman, but also as a business owner, I do share a little bit more, and I am much more active than what I used to be. It doesn't come naturally to me though at all, and I find parts of it so icky. But that's
Yeah.
a me thing,
It takes
that's not an
practice, doesn't it?
industry or a brand thing. That is fully a me thing that I'm definitely trying to work on. I'm actually recording this because we're starting a vlog where I'm sharing on YouTube, where I'm sharing more of the business and more of my life behind the scenes. And I think people really connect with that, and it's super engaging when the founder is a bit more forward facing and they're talking about the product, and it's
Yeah.
not just all of the shiny stuff that you see on socials. It's like the highs and the lows and the real kind of nitty gritty day to day stuff that is essential to keeping the cogs turning. I feel like our audience for sure appreciate having a little window into that. It's just me bringing my barriers down, and it's that like I'm worthy enough to share that, and people actually want to. It's a me thing. It's a me barrier for sure. But I am trying to do more of it.
Yeah, I don't think it comes naturally to many of us, so you're definitely not alone.
No, I think, there are, that's like someone's whole entire job and career, and there are some amazing content creators and influencers out there. It's just, yeah, it's definitely learning a new skill and also feeling like that I'm in a good enough headspace to be able to share that sort of content and talk to camera and be present enough to actually put my best self forward.
And obviously, the skincare world is a notoriously overcrowded and competitive space. I mean, what are the sort of main qualities do you think you need to stand out and stay afloat, as a as an indie brand?
Yeah, it's definitely not easy. I think we've always had a very clear vision about who we are and what we're doing, but also why we're doing it. And I think your why is super important. The other thing that's really important is to not really get too, I'm not focused too much on what everyone else is doing, because if I got upset every time, a new beauty brand launched and I sort of, did a deep dive into them and what they're doing and their products, I would, I would not get out of bed. I would be just paralyzed with the fear of what everyone else is doing. So I think it's really
Yeah.
important just to focus on your stuff and making sure that your product and your brand story and, your messaging is super clear. And the rest of it will come. I think making sure that the product is, it's very hard to be innovative now when everything is at our fingertips.
Yeah.
There are product launches every single day. There is a huge amount of waste. There's loads of product. There's just too much product, and there's a constant conveyor belt. So I think just making sure that your products have integrity and that you're being truly authentic, I think, are two of the most important things.
100%. And obviously you're very emotionally attached to your range. I mean, it's kind of like your sort of second child, I'd say, in a way, isn't
First, because it came before Lenny.
it? Oh yeah. How do you balance the kind of emotional side of the business to the more kind of business strategic side when you have to make kind of tough decisions and
That's a good question. It's hard because having a business is super emotional. And when you have a small team, you have to be so mindful not to project onto them, because multiple things happen in a day. And when, I'm running, like I said, across all areas of the business. So there could be a supply chain issue in the morning, and there might be a component, like a packaging component issue in the afternoon, or there could be so many things that happen in the day. To show up to virtual meetings or in real life meetings with your team and not project, I think, is super important. And to be able to take time to digest things and to work through things before coming to your team and coming with fire or, too much emotion, I think, is really important, because I'm very aware of the energy that I'm putting out. A
What a
lot of
responsibility, though, isn't it? Because it can get quite lonely, I imagine, having
it's
to
a
shoulder
huge
all that.
responsibility, and I think actually having an amazing team is super important. And before I take anything to my team, I take it to my husband. So I feel very lucky that, we talk about everything to do, that all of the runnings of the business, I speak, to him about it before I take it to my team. So I'm able to first digest stuff myself, meditate on it, think about it, then I take it to him, and then it goes to my team. So, I think, yeah, actually taking time to process stuff so that you're not projecting and that you're not bringing fiery emotions or just heaviness. I think, it's not just business stuff. Like, the world can be a heavy place. Stuff happens personally,
Yeah.
and I think you have to really keep that stuff not to yourself, but check yourself sometimes, so that you can show up for your team and you can be that support and that lead that they are looking towards. So yeah, it's not easy. It's definitely something you have to work on. It's a muscle. You have to keep working on it.
Definitely, and kind of check how you're channeling it appropriately and all of that.
For sure. Yeah, for sure.
And what was it like? I mean, I don't know whether you're like fully independent or whether you have kind of shareholders, but what was it like kind of trying to sort of either raise investment or trying to get into retailers? Because I imagine that's probably one of the toughest
Yeah.
steps of building a business.
Yeah. So it is just us, but it's not easy, It's getting into retailers is such a journey. It's not for the weak, honestly. It's a, Liberty is probably one of our biggest achievements for sure as a brand, and that happened out of sheer perseverance. I had them on the vision board from the very beginning. I knew that I wanted to partner with Liberty, and I knew that they would be right for the brand that I was going to build. This is before we'd even built it. And it's not easy to, when there are so many beauty brands, like you said, and there's a lot of celebrity brands or influencer brands and just brands with a ton of money for marketing, and you are this tiny little drop in the ocean. I mean, the brand started on this table that I'm sat at right now. So like, we started so small. So to then get into a retailer like Liberty, who then go on to really champion you and put you into Advent and the Beauty Drop and things like that, it feels like such a celebration of the brand, and it's a really nice feeling. But it's also not an easy run. You know, you don't just drop into a retailer and then sort of
That's
wave
the
them
end of the
goodbye and
story.
that's the end of it. No, it's consistent work. And with anyone that we work with, any retailer or hotel or therapist, it is an ongoing nurturing of that relationship to make sure that we're showing up and we're making it work. Because products like mine and smaller brands like Wild Source don't sell themselves like a L'Oreal brand does. You have to work harder. So, yes, the retailers are fantastic, and I love Liberty. But yeah, it's work, and you have to show up, and it's an additional arm in your brand that you have to then
For
have
sure.
someone looking after and working across. So yeah.
Did you find similar challenges with doing PR for your brand and sort of getting the word out there and getting feature placements in media outlets?
I did, I think, because we were really lucky in the beginning because we launched with five products, but then we didn't launch anything for maybe 2 years. And you don't really get written about unless you're launching something new. So yes, I did. I've had some really good experiences with PR. I've had also some not so great experiences with PR. And I think now it's very different landscape than what it was back then. I think it's a lot more now about budget and what you can afford in terms of marketing. I think actually we're working with an amazing PR agency at the moment, and they've been, like, since we rebranded, they've been fantastic and so supportive. I can't praise them enough. I think you have to make sure you've got budget for PR, because if you're launching something and you want coverage, you also need longevity. You need to be able to maintain the spend so that you're so just so that you have enough time, with your agency or with whoever it is that you're working with, so that they can really be pushing you and seeding you out in the way that you would want to. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't.
No, for sure. But I think people tend to treat PR as an afterthought when actually it's so important just for, like
Super
you said,
important. I think social media has done that a little bit though, because there are lots of creators and lots of influencers now that get a bit more reach than traditional press. So I think that hasn't helped. But I love working with PR currently. It's great.
That's brilliant. And what was, I imagine, sort of getting into Liberty was a huge turning point for your brand. Were there any other moments where you just felt like, oh, this is going to work, this is all coming together?
Yeah, Liberty was definitely one. Advent for Liberty was another, because that was just the hugest moment. It was just so monumental. It was the year that I had had my daughter. You have to send the goods way, way, way in advance, because there's thousands of advent calendars they need to get packed. So I had Lenny in January, and we delivered the full PO in, I think, like the first week of April. So I was out of my mind, like sleep deprived and postpartum. Then fast forward to seeing that, come to fruition in December was a real moment. And a couple of years before, my partner had got me the advent calendar, the Liberty Beauty advent calendar, and I had put a little mini miracle oil in it and took a picture of it and thought, this is a goal for me. This is what we're going to do. And then 2 years later, we put that exact product in advent, and it just felt so magical.
Amazing. So you're big into your manifesting by the
I
sounds of
am,
it.
yeah, for sure. I always have been, but yeah, I am for sure.
Yeah, well, it sounds like it is that
It's
something to be said for
working.
it? Yeah.
Yeah, it does. I love it, and I've always been big into meditation and journaling, and we talk about that at Wild Source all the time. It's it's this other addition of self-care and how can I take care of myself and, look after me. And I think actually meditating and journaling and manifesting are such powerful tools if you know how to do them. And also if you can nurture yourself enough. I think manifestation is such a buzzword now, isn't it? It's so trendy.
Yeah, I've just finished reading Roxy Nafusi's book
Manifest.
about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just listened to a few podcasts on it and stuff.
And there's so much information now on manifesting. It's almost like it's taken over, like self-care, hasn't it? But I think a lot of it is about it's the relationship that you have with yourself and building on that before you can start bringing external stuff in. It's how you're feeling about yourself.
Because the sort of relationship between beauty and wellness, it's overlapped quite a bit for a few years now, I think since lockdown. But now it feels like we're moving into like spiritual wellness with a lot of brands as well. Do you see that as a
And I love it. I'm so all for it. I think World Source has definitely sat and sort of straddled beauty and wellness since launch. And I think I'm not religious, but I am, really spiritual. And I think, like I said before, I'm lucky that my lifestyle has sort of been able to be woven into the brand. So, obviously anything that I'm then into and I'm kind of drawn to, if I think it fits and I think it will, serve others in our community, for sure, I will try and weave it in. And the affirmations and the more spiritual side, the meditate. We've had meditations with Wild Source since lockdown, since pre-lockdown. And yeah, I think it's just another tool, isn't it, to take care of yourself.
No, definitely. And I think that when it comes to really standing out as a sort of an independent brand like yourself, you have to be a little bit sort of disruptive. Would you sort of consider yourselves in that way, in terms of how you present and how you talk about your products and how you brand yourself?
I think so. I think you have to go a little bit outside the box, and people do. I think you have to be mad to be a founder anyway, because it's such a, you have to be so obsessed with your product and your brand and your vision. You do need to be a little bit insane to do something like this. But what I've yeah I think it's really important that you have something unique that you're bringing to the table. Meditation was definitely a huge part of that for us and on our story. With one of the first, well, the first brand at Liberty to introduce meditation within treatments. And I don't know many other brands that, start and end a facial with a guided meditation. And I think actually now more than ever, the customer wants more from the brand. They don't just want a product, they want a story. They want it to be able to have a positive impact on their life in other areas. And we really try, to support in that way. And I think meditation is such a beautiful addition to a self-care ritual or a skincare ritual. And it doesn't cost anything. So it's not like we're selling something else. It's like, actually, here is just something from us to you that you can use to elevate your experience. And I think that's really special.
Yeah, you're right, because it's not just about, what results you're going to get from a skincare product, but it's the whole kind of, like you said, holistic experience, and you're buying into a whole lifestyle in a way.
For sure. It's about dropping back into yourself. And I think, before I had Lenny, it was a holistic approach and it was rituals, not routines. Post having my beauty routine took on such a deeper, more important meaning for me. It was a way for me to anchor back to myself when I felt, quite, I guess, lost and sort of at sea a little bit. And so it was. Yes, it was about cleansing and looking after my skin, but it was also about reconnecting back to myself. And I think the rebrand for us that we did in September was, it was a way to communicate that. It was, we've printed on the bottles vessels for connection. I want them to serve as a pause for our community and our customers to come back to themselves. And I think, offering something more than just a topical solution is really important when it comes to standing out from others.
And what do you think your sort of main values are as a brand? Because a lot of brands sort of expect you to kind of really stand for something. What would you say that Wild Source stands for?
I think we're never going to be a brand that launches 100 SKUs. It's not how I use skincare. I don't find it a sustainable way to look to products in that way. I don't think it's healthy for us. I don't think it's healthy for the skin. What we stand for is, efficacious, natural skin food that supports a more elevated skincare ritual. I want people to take a more mindful approach, and I want to be able to support on that journey. So yes, you might not be using exclusively Wild Source in your skincare ritual, but the products that you do use with us, they feel like this kind of hug, this really beautiful experience where we are able to slow things down, take a breath, drop your shoulders, drop back into yourself, nourish your skin, and also nourish your mind at the same time. And I think that is our goal.
Yeah, it's a beautiful goal to have, I
Thank
think.
you.
And with that in mind, you're saying that you're never going to have 100 SKUs. So what's next for the brand?
I
Things
mean,
to scale up.
we are launching a few products this year. So we have
Yeah.
got MPD in the pipeline, but I think this year and onwards for us is all about will be largely about treatments, and creating more of a community with our facialists and our therapists, and collaborating with therapists that really get it. I feel like holistic treatments are having a real moment, and we've been doing them for the last 7 years, but I feel like now they're kind of peaking in interest. And us being able to offer treatments is such a beautiful way for new people to experience the brand. And I think it's so important wherever we are, whether it's a retailer or a hotel or, whatever premises we're in, I think it's really important that we're able to offer the treatment so we can really bring people into this Wild Source world and how we do things, because it is so unique. So we'll be focusing largely on treatments. We've got some new bath and body products launching as well, and just focusing on treatments and also in real life events. I miss them, and when we do them, we do facial workshops and retreats. And again, it's just such a beautiful way to connect with people and see people in real life and hear about how the brand has changed the way that they view their skin or how they do their skincare. I think that's so nice for us, and it's such a rewarding part of, my job.
Definitely. And what would you say is the one bit of advice you would give to other sort of young entrepreneurs like yourself, venturing out into the beauty world that you could have
Oh,
told your younger self back then?
there's so many. There's so many pieces of advice. I think being really clear, like I said earlier, laser focused on who you are as a brand and your values, and not getting too bogged down in what everybody else is doing. I think one of the best things that I did was just to kind of almost have my blinkers on a little bit. Of course, you have to be aware of the landscape of the industry and what's going on, but just being so focused and truly, truly believing in what you're doing, I think, is really important. And also just starting, just nothing's going to be perfect before, nothing's going to feel perfect or 100% ready. If you have an idea that you believe in enough and you think it's worthy of putting out there, just actually starting is one of the biggest hurdles. I think getting out of your own way and just doing it is so important. That's what I did. And although obviously I stumbled and I learned things along the way, if I'd not have just done it and just kind of said, right, I'm just doing it, I'm launching in October, it's happening, we're getting out there, I would have just always sat wondering and I would have kicked myself. So I think, yeah, just being super clear on what it is that you're doing and your goal and your values as a brand, and staying authentic and just getting it done. Just go and do it.
No, it makes complete sense. I think a lot of us get in our own way quite
For
often.
sure.
I don't know why that is or how we can kind of overcome that, but it does seem to be an ongoing issue for a lot of us.
I think, yeah, for sure. It's you kind of scare yourself out of doing things, don't you? When you think you're not good enough, or you think, there's too many brands, or there's too many this or that or the other, or I can't do it well enough, or I don't have the capital to start, or just there's always a million reasons that you could tell yourself to not start something. Actually, just getting on with it and doing it is such a power move.
For
Everything
sure.
figures itself out anyway.
It does. It does. It's always less ca like it's less of a catastrophe than you envision it to be, or not at
Totally,
all.
totally.
And where do you get your drive from? Because I'm sure you've had moments in building the brand that have been very sort of challenging or scary. I mean, how do you kind of push yourself to keep going?
Yeah, I have had moments where I've sort of felt a bit lost and not sure what I'm doing. But I think ultimately the customers are what keep me going. You know, the stories that we get told, either, you know, whether it's DM or in real life or emails, those journeys that we go on with our customers, are just the reason why we keep doing it. You know, because
Yeah.
actually, like, building a brand and running a business is not easy. So you have to really love it to keep it going. And actually, the customers and their feedback and the relationship that I have with them is one of the things that keeps me going. And I think also the belief that I'm bringing something unique to the industry that I think is needed. And I truly, truly believe that in my bones. That's something else that keeps me going, because I feel like I have a duty now. We've come this far. I'm like, well, let's keep going and see where we can take this. It's really important. Yeah, it's really important to me to understand how I serve people and what my place is in the world. And I feel like this is what I'm meant to be doing, and that's what keeps me going.
Yeah, because beauty and self-care, they're such powerful tools, and I think they can often get dismissed by people that don't understand the industry, or they sort of see it as like flippant, and actually it can be life-changing for some people.
Totally, totally. It is a way of being able to support yourself, and it's such a kind of tactile and intimate moment. You're usually, hopefully, on your own, and it's a moment of calm. And I think it is a way of tapping back into ourselves. And I think if we allow it to be beauty, whether it's skincare or makeup or, you know, self-massage, can be a portal back to ourselves. And I think we're living in quite a disconnected world where we
Yeah.
really need to feel, you know, that deeper connection. And yeah, I think it's super important, and it's not to be dismissed. I think beauty is, yeah, it's very important.
Yeah, and I think more and more of us are waking up to the value of it.
For sure. Yeah, for
Well, Kate,
sure.
thank you so much for joining me on the podcast. It was really lovely chatting to you,
That's
and honestly wish you every success with the brand. It yeah, just a gorgeous range.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it was a pleasure to chat. Thank you for having me.
I hope you enjoyed that episode. All links will be in the show notes, and feel free to visit smartbeautycreative.com or visit us over on Instagram to find out more about what we do. And if you enjoyed listening, please don't forget to rate and review Smart Beauty on iTunes, as it helps people find us. See you next time.